sit there. It's lovely and warm, and it just took me back. I went to see a preacher one time, and I'd read some of his stuff, and I was really looking forward to it. And the place was packed, and you know, it's like you get a lot of people, it gets warm, and the music seemed to go on for months, you know. And anyway, eventually they finished, and the guy got up and started speaking, and he went very quietly, and he went, and after about 5 minutes, and I wasn't alone, and I thought, that's terrible, but I learned a lesson. He said, you know, whether I got one of these on or not, you're going to hear me. No one goes to sleep when I'm on, okay? And I had I took over a church for a wee while, and we had some older folk, you know. And I said to them, now listen, I said, I need to warn you, okay, there is a time, sometime in the message, where I'm likely to stop and look at you and ask you to pray. I tell you what, no one went to sleep. And so you can think about that. Do you manage to find my stuff? Yeah? Or am I going to just preach from the scriptures? I don't mind. It doesn't matter. I know what I'm doing, so... Well, anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And I know we looked at it last week. Well, we didn't, but we nearly did. Anyway, it's a different story. But I know that you've talked about that. I talked to Neville in the week, and he said it all went really well. And you're all a very religious bunch. So that's terrific. Now, no? Yes, no, on here? There's a red light on here. I've got to find it, have I? It'll be on the stick. Don't you love technology? It's when you turn up with your stick and all the stuff on it, and they say, oh, sorry, the computer's broke. And you go, this is going to be a good test of my memory, you know. But anyway, you all feel a bit royal this morning? Yeah? You all... Wasn't it one of the things, I saw the coronation in 1953. I was 6 years old, first time I'd seen television, and it seemed to go on for days and days. When you're 6 years old, you know. But one of the things I do remember from my growing up, I saw the Queen make her statement when she took over from her father, and she said, I'm going to devote my life to service, and she did. And I have some wonderful memories. She was a lovely Christian lady, and you couldn't watch the Christmas message without getting the gospel. You know, she was really good. But one of the things that she said, which I thought was really wonderful, that as she was getting older, she couldn't wait to pass into glory and cast her crown before her King. And I thought, isn't that a wonderful attitude? That's a wonderful thing. And we're still blank. Yep, we're away. Oh, which one is it? Well, hopefully it's the one on Timothy. That one there. Nope. Yep. Hey. Well, for a while. All right. So the first 8 verses, there are 2 key elements that we need to look at, basically. First of all, prayer. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about prayer. Timothy does that, you know. You remember, this is the pastoral epistles. This is Paul, as a pastor, if you like, or as an elder, okay, writing to his students, Timothy and Titus, and he's saying, look, the church needs 2 things. Well, it needs lots of things, and there's lots of instructions. But there are 2 things that are key to the church. And this is your responsibility as pastors, elders, teachers. And not only that, it goes down from there. This is the Christian responsibility. So, yeah, we can say, okay, well, the pastors and the elders and the preachers, they're responsible to stand there and teach us. But the thing is, we are required to apply those things. And so when we look at the 2 things that are essential in this whole system, what we need to understand is that there's some emphasis going on here that the Apostle Paul, he's saying, look, you know, and he was a tremendous Hebrew scholar, don't forget. And so he understands that when Christ came, he is the Messiah, and we need to listen very carefully to what I've been instructed to tell you, and you're supposed to then pass that on. And it's all about exhortation, and it's all about prayer. Now, exhortation is a lovely word. I don't know whether you've ever studied it, but it contains a lot of things, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But let's go, what does it say? First of all, what's first of all? Well, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. And so there is this element that the first thing we do all the time is pray. Pray without ceasing. And you go, what, in every situation? Well, I can't think of a situation where you wouldn't want to ask God to help you, whatever it was that you were doing. Regardless, you know, we need to be grateful totally for all the things that he does for us. So, exhortation. There's the Greek word that they use there, you can't really translate it. It's one of those, we have one in Welsh called hwyl. You can't translate it. It just means everything. You know. Now, here, exhortation is all about, first of all, what the responsibilities of the leaders are. Hey, listen, you're supposed to encourage them, all right? You're supposed to help them. You're supposed to persuade them about the truth. You're supposed to do all kinds of different things, right? But it doesn't stop there. You know, that's our job as Christians too. So let me ask you, when was the last time you exhorted someone? You go, I have to think about that for a minute. But encouragement is something we can all do. When was the last time you prayed for someone? You know, when was the last time we had to persuade someone that this is what the Bible says and this is the truth? And so we have to recognize that these instructions, although they're given to the eldership of pastors and teachers, they actually apply to us too. And we can't walk away from that. We have to understand that we are to be there pleading, if you like, and I like that whole idea. In fact, the whole idea of supplication is a very interesting word. You know, I have a picture in my mind. When it comes to supplication, you see the person of authority, and then you see the person lying on the floor with their face to the floor and their arms stretched on the floor. That's supplication. We're supposed to do that before God. Now, sometimes we get on our knees. Not often, I supplicate. Okay, my age, got to remember, you've got to get up again afterwards, all right? So, but you see what I mean? It's the whole principle of, what are we doing? Are we submitting? You know, really, truly, completely submitting to God. And so it's an important thing, and we need to understand it. It's humbling ourselves. One of the things I enjoyed about the coronation was the fact that when it came to the spiritual side, the king had to take off all his robes. He was just there in a simple shirt. And then he went behind the screen. And if I don't know whether you realize what happens behind there, but the anointing, it's scriptural. What happens is that the priests of the day, in this case the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Dean of Westminster, they apply privately the oil, and he has to make a declaration that he will serve the people in the same way as Christ came not to be ministered to, but to minister to others. And he makes that commitment. And so it's a lovely private ceremony, a private commitment to the church that he will be the ambassador for the church. You notice he declared he was a Protestant. Interesting that of all the faith people there were all kinds of different religions. And there's nothing wrong with that. You see, we are to allow soul freedom. We can't say ours is the only correct religion, which it is, but we're not allowed to say that and exclude others, because people get saved from every denomination. People get saved from every country, every nation. And God says, I'll take care of that. You don't have to worry about it. So pray, and pray believing that I am going to take care of things. And we have a king, we had a queen, we have a king, still have a king. And that's it's just a figurehead, really. He has no real power. The government has the power. But nevertheless, the role that he plays is one of bringing nations together and bringing people together. And the things that they're involved in, particularly the charities and things like that, are very, very worthwhile. And so we have to acknowledge that. And we need to pray for the king. Why? Because he does have influence. Now, if you were asked, I know I saw Richie McCaw there, and if you were asked to go and represent the country, as well as the Prime Minister, to do something else, you'd dress up nicely, and you'd be careful what you said, and you would be very grateful to be honoured that way. It's an honour. We have to think about that in spiritual terms, you know. We need to realise that we have to give thanks for the government. And it's not personal. Now, you know, you ask me about politics, I can tell you there's a lot wrong with the Labour Party, there's a lot wrong with the National Party, there's a lot wrong. I don't care which party you like, there's a lot wrong with it, and I can criticise it all day. Because it is immoral government. We're under an immoral government. Okay, so we're not dealing with spiritual things, we're dealing with society. And so we have to be all things to all men. Who said that? Someone said that, didn't they? All things to all men. And we have to pray for whoever's in power. And you know, and that's a difficult thing. I think, you know, the government does something you don't like, and so what happens? You end up protesting in Parliament and throwing rocks at the police. You know, sorry, that's not what we should be doing as Christians, and yet I know Christians that did. I think, what happened to this? What happened to prayer? What happened to supplication? What happened to, you know, asking God to intervene? And he will. But we have to be faithful. Why? Because he's saying, look guys, Timothy, look Titus, you have to understand that, you know, our job as leaders is to set an example. And the example is that we pray for everybody, including our enemies, including those that would despitefully use us. We need to pray for them. That's our job. And it doesn't stop at the leadership. You go, okay, well, that's Barry's job. No. That's Tuya's job. No, it doesn't stop that. You know, this is an individual responsibility. You are saved to do what God has told you to do. And that says, pray for all. I was thinking about the whole situation. Here's Paul, and he's looking at his country, Israel, and it has a false king. He wrote this. The king was established by Roman authority, by people they wanted in power. So he was not a king descendant from the line of kings, not from David. And the Roman authority ruled the country with an iron fist. And so it's no wonder that the people of Israel wanted to rebel. And of course they thought that the Messiah would lead them to victory against the Romans and against the false religions of the day. But it didn't happen. But the Apostle Paul, he says, you pray for them anyway, regardless of who's in power, regardless of who's in authority. You pray for them. Why? Because we want to live a peaceable life where we can share spiritual truths with those around us. And you can hear, this is a wonderful country. I can preach the gospel on the street corner, I'm not going to get arrested. You tried that in Iran. And I have a friend who did. And he managed to escape by the skin of his teeth from Iran. Wonderful Christian man now. So, you know, we know that these things are out there. We need to be grateful. And then we need to pray for our own situation. Submission is not something that we're... Do you like submitting to authority? It's kind of one of those things that you kind of... Because, you know, you go, well, if I he's like this, he's like that, he's like the other thing, and you want me to submit to him? Well, if he's preaching the gospel, yeah. If he's teaching you the truth, yeah. Whether you like it or whether you don't, you need to submit to the authority of the Word of God. And sometimes we don't like that. I've counseled people, and I've said, but the Bible says this, and they go, ah. Don't like it. Why don't they like it? Well, because it's true. But we have to be faithful to the truth. And when we talk about those who are in charge, and we have to understand that what they are trying to do, and what they are praying about, is trying to teach the Word of God that we might learn from it, and grow from it, and develop from it. And I guarantee you, I know, like having prepared many, many messages, you start preparing and you learn something. And you go, oh, I better rethink something, because I've learned something from the Word. It's quick and it's sharp and it gets you. And the same thing happens when we have leaders who stand up and say, this is what we need to understand and this is what we need to do. It's the Word of God, and you need to follow what they're saying, because they've studied and they've prayed and they understand. And Christ is not going to change all the time. Nothing changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And of course, the reason that we have people who stand and preach and teach is that they want to be able to invest in each individual. And so if I say something, microphone's gone. Can you hear me? Yeah. If I don't, stick your hand up and I'll shout at you, okay? I'll step on that in a minute. So the whole idea of preaching and teaching, the whole idea of preaching and teaching is that we might grow in grace. Have you heard that expression? We're supposed to grow in grace. Therefore, we are supposed to listen to those who are involved in preaching and teaching, so that we might come to an understanding. And that they, yeah, it's lovely. You know, you think about, I think about some people that I've been able to help in the time spiritually. And it keeps you going through. You know, you go, ah, answer the question. And, you know, it's made life. And so, you know, that gives you great joy. And you think to yourself, well, if I hadn't helped that way, if I hadn't prayed for that person, if I hadn't done the Lord to help them, well, what would have happened? You know, would they have fallen off the wagon, taken the wrong route, made a bad decision? And all of that really is the Word of God. What's good and acceptable, you know. The whole idea of prayer is that we will pray for people, A, to come to a knowledge and understanding of what spiritual things, spiritual life is all about, and then to the knowledge of truth. And if we talk about truth, of course, we have to say, well, that's the Word of God, that's the Bible. I like putting up biblical arguments. If you have an argument, throw the Bible up, because then they're not arguing with you, they're arguing with God. You sort of know what you're saying, but you know, that's the whole principle of truth. Truth is truth, and you're not going to change it. The Word of God's not going to change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are required to preach the truth. And we're supposed to have an immediate answer. Now, that's sometimes difficult. I know that I, on occasion, somebody will spring something at you, and you go, well, I learned the lesson a long time ago. I only say 5 minutes. And the pastor said to me, I want you to take young women in the church, teenage class. And I panicked, and I said, well, I don't know what to do. I'm the same problem, this is annoying me. He said, it's not a problem. If you have your lesson, learn your lesson. But I know they're teenagers, they're going to ask me questions. Teenagers can't help themselves. And they're going to challenge what you said in the church. And he said, see? And then say, that's a very good question. We end up on the field with this one. And
if they remember next week that you were going to cover it, you've had a week to study it. And I've always thought that's a really good answer. So don't make up things when you're asked to preach and teach and exhort and encourage. We have to do it with the knowledge of what we have. God always gives you a means of escape. I always love that. That's one of the best verses of Scripture. There's always a means of escape. And so we need to be serious about preaching the gospel, but we need to understand that it's a very simple gospel. You know, we shouldn't try and make it complicated, you know. All of sin has come short of the glory of God. All is all. That's one of those 100% words. You mean me as well? Sure? Yeah. All. All right. There's none righteous, just in case you weren't sure about all. Okay. There's none righteous. None. Okay. Salvation is the gift of God. It's not a gift. You can't earn your way into heaven. I used to think you could. My good outweighed my bad. And then somebody said I was a sinner. I didn't like that. And he thought it was very nice and warm. But they said it from the Word of God. And I thought, hang on. Now I've got a problem with God. And so you have to understand that salvation is a gift. God gave Jesus Christ as an offering for us. As an offering for sin. And so faith is just simply believing. And you have to believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead. That is God being said, say it, say it. Can't believe it. None shall touch me. So I'm safe and secure in Christ because my faith has been justified by what he has done. He died for me. And if you're a Christian, he died for you. If you're not a Christian, he still died for you, but you need to believe. And salvation is all about just having faith and accepting that God is in control. And I love the word mediator. You know, when he says about a couple of the things where some things cannot be resolved, he had to go to mediation. One of the things I really liked about the two mediators that I got involved with, you know, they would listen patiently to both sides of the story. Independently, they would be never in the same room. So they take one party, listen to the story. Then they come and take our side, listen to the story. And then they would go away, and then they come back, and with the two parties concerned, they say, well, look. Now, it was nice that I was all those points. That was really good. And I could understand what they were saying and what the arguments were against. I know that that's what they're about. So mediation is one of those things where you go, we've got someone who is going to resolve the difficulty between us. We have a difficulty in that we are sinners, separated from God. We need a mediator to stand in the gap. And I love that song, I Don't Believe in the Mediator. It's a song. Appreciate the music today, too. Ancient of Days is one of my favorite songs. So thank you for that. And I enjoyed that. So we have to understand, you know, that we have a Savior, you know, who took care of everything. We don't have to worry about anything. Now, I was going to say this. I had a bad thought. I had a bad day. I had a bad company. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, because we are covered. And I think that's a wonderful thing. That whole idea of the covering is a wonderful thing. We're going to make mistakes, but God so loved the world that he took care of that. And so we are involved, I think, in situations where we have to speak the truth in Christ. I love that. So when we preach the gospel, it should not be some other gospel. The Bible is very clear about that. So, yeah, you need to preach the gospel exactly as it is. No clothes, no nothing, simply by faith.
Faith alone. in Jesus Christ. Pray without ceasing. You know, and the whole concept, I think, of Jackson Thomas, right, I just really enjoyed Thomas. And unless I see the friends, unless I put my finger, unless I see that, I can do it. Even the hard man, he's been with Christ all that time. But what he needed was reassurance that I can understand that. Do you understand that? Reassurance? Are we doing the right thing? Are we saying that I think we're praying enough for the people that we need to pray for? What are we doing? We need reassurance. And Scripture is clear that if we pray without ceasing, I exhort you, let me encourage you, let me challenge you, let me lift you up, let me do everything I can in my power to get you to understand that first of all we need to pray, amen? First of all we need to pray, amen? Thank you. You know, Lord, the rest of the time is, you know? We need, it's one of those things that, you know, pray without ceasing is a wonderful thing, and it's something that we pray about all the time. However, it's there as a reminder that we are to give thanks and pray for everything. This week I was watching the news in front of you, and someone blew up a drone over Moscow, and they said, well, they're trying to assassinate Putin. And I thought, well, I could understand why people would want to do it, but not what's going on. But then I said to myself, have you ever prayed for that man? And the answer is no. I've never prayed for him. I just woke up and I've looked at him with a false alarm. Why? What does he believe in me? But hey, so did I. So did you. Father, thank you for the fact that the Word of God is clear and quick and sharp, and Lord, encourage us to be careful. Encourage us, Lord, to think about those things that are in your Word that we need to apply to our lives, and help us to pray for all men, I appreciate. In Jesus' name.